Today we have the grace of celebrating a couple of feasts during this first Saturday that we have within the season of waiting, of season of Advent. During this time, before we begin, just to remind you, as we know, that we have the upcoming Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which takes place on Saturday. The Mass schedule is in the bulletin if you wish to take note of those times of the Holy Day of Obligation. Now, St. Francis Xavier is the feast which we celebrate today, but also we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a beautiful feast that we celebrate here on this first Saturday of the Advent season, the Immaculate Heart. And so the two are wed, and we shall see in just a moment how so, but a little bit on our saint of this day, St. Francis Xavier. I want to begin by giving you a little bit of his life taken from the Divine Office, the Roman Office, here in his liturgical homily. Begins, Francis was born of a noble family at Xavier in his diocese of Pamplona. In Paris, he joined the companions of the disciples of St. Ignatius. In a short time, he became a shining example of austerity of life, untiring contemplation of divine things. Pope Paul III made him the apostolic nuncio unto India, and he traveled about through countless provinces, always on foot and often barefoot. He brought the faith to Japan and six other regions. In India, he converted many hundreds of thousands to Christianity, cleansing many princes and kings in the holy waters of baptism. His humility was so great that when he wrote to St. Ignatius, his general, he always did so on his knees. But many and wonderful miracles the Lord confirmed his zealous work in spreading the gospel. Finally, on the Chinese island of Shaanxi, he died on the 2nd of December, rich in merits and worn out with his labors. Pope St. Pius X appointed him as the heavenly patron of society, the propagation of the faith and of its work. Now that is the life of our saint. A little bit more intensely, St. Ignatius was a man of intense humility. He himself didn't see that he had terribly much worth within his life. He was constantly checking himself, seeing that his works did not always come to the desired effect that he wished that they would have had. And so he had great humility within his own apprehension of himself, seeing himself that he was able to do things, but not able to do them as greatly as he wished they would have been done. One of the great signs of the saints is that they have this great humility, where they recognize that their good works do not come from themselves, but rather they must come from outside, and they themselves always see that they are unable to accomplish the fullness of what they desire to do, because the desires which God has placed upon their heart are always so much greater than their own ability to bring about. Thus, they must rely upon God. We see this so beautifully in many ways. When he was made the apostolic nuncio to India, many miracles happened to him, and occurred in his midst, that the work of God working through this holy man, and in order to do great miracles, more often than not, especially if they are to be truly of God himself, the soul must be all the more humble, all the more laid low, that God may truly let his power move through them. That is the great conduit of grace. We here within the natural world, we look for gold or copper or these other conductive materials. The Lord does not care about these things. The conduit of grace is that of humility. And so our lives must be full of that conduit of humility if God's work is indeed to flow through us unimpeded. Now, St. Ignatius did a great many of these very things which you see within our gospel passage today. What is spoken about here is indeed exactly what our saint is known for. We could tell you the stories of each one. Maybe I'll enumerate them as I just look at the gospel to the best of my memory. It says, "These signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." I can't recall any of the particular stories of the casting out of devils, but he did this quite often. It is such a common miracle among the saints that it goes without need to mention each one of them. But he says, "They shall speak new tongues." St. Ignatius, or rather St. Francis Xavier, is known strongly for being able to speak new tongues, not the babbling that is often associated with us in these modern times of the 20th and 21st century, but indeed that of speaking of other tongues. St. Francis Xavier was often, when he would go throughout the Indian continent, if you know anything about it, some of you have children who have served in the military there, that there are tons of languages all throughout that continent. That hardly can one group speak to another because there are so many different languages that exist in that place. When I myself was in seminary, I would spend my time in Rome there amongst those who were not of the American culture. So I would often be there among the Vietnamese or among these Indians. And when I'd ask them to teach me a little bit about their language so I could get to know them and have a deeper friendship with them, they all looked at each other and looked at me and said, "Which language should we teach him? What should we speak of him to? There's so many different languages." In fact, here in this group of 10, we have about 8 different languages. So as they looked about me, I turned to the cutest youngest sister, at least in appearance, she seemed to be the youngest, and I said, I want to know Sister Grace's language. I want to know Sister Grace's language. And so then she would giggle in her girly way, and then she would share with me things, and that became the language that I would be instructed in things. And so all of them have various languages, which are there. When so many of the Indians, I can't remember who was asked the question at this time, but the anecdote sticks within my mind, said, well, what did you profit about when the British came and overtook your island? What was the great thing that was given to you? There was a man who pondered for a moment, and then he looked at the reporter and said to him, the English gave us two things, for which we are very grateful. One is they gave us tea, and the second is that they gave us a language to unite our people. English is the language which unites the Indian subcontinent with all the, I believe it's even hundreds of languages in that very populous small region, which is there in India, that they can all speak a common language, and so that united them to become to the greatness which they have achieved up to this point. You know, St. Francis Xavier didn't have that grace of them being united by language, so he would go out from place to place and trust in God. And from time to time, he was given the grace of tongues where he would be speaking and instantly his words would be either translated within the ears of those who were there, or he would indeed be speaking the language which they themselves could understand. But St. Francis Xavier's humility did not allow him to rely purely upon the charismatic graces of God working within him. So he took very soon, from the very beginning, to study the hard languages that he could of the various peoples that he was at. He was known for doing that anywhere that he went, whether it was in China, Japan, or even unto this Indian continent which we're speaking about. So he would put in the hard work, trusting that there are times when God does not see fit that his graces would work in this way for the humiliation of the minister, and as well for God's glory to be shown all the more greatly. So he worked hard so that he would not merely have to rely upon God working a extraordinary miracle for him to be understood, but that he would also be putting his time in to do so. That's one thing. But what about, does it also say that here? He says that they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. St. Ignatius was in one particular place where there was a man where he had vicious wounds that would ooze and would push a vicious poison that would go out. And so because of this, he realized his own interior repugnance, and being reminded of the lives of so many saints who went before him, he reached out and squeezed out a bit of that and consumed that vile poison which drained out of this man, and it harmed him not. We see this in many of the saints, in fact. St. Catherine of Siena did the same thing, and when Catherine of Siena did it, what occurred for her? That it was a grace to overcome the repulsion that she had from that, and instantly she was given a vision of the Lord. And in that time, our Lord came, appeared as he who was crucified before her. He said, for this grace, for this act of love which you have done to overcome yourself and to show the greatness of who I am, now you may drink from my side. And so she put her lips to the wound of his sacred side and was lifted up into great ecstasies of God's goodness, drinking from that the water, aqua lateris Christi, as we pray in the Anima Christi. There's so many good things about St. Francis Xavier, which we could share, and rather than being overcome with his miracles, to share you a little bit about how he tells you and I how we should begin our day. If you and I wish to really find some semblance of holiness, to be inspired by the lives of the saints, oftentimes we talk about things which are so distant from our experience. St. Francis Xavier gives you and I some practical applications of how to lead a good life, to make sure that from the beginning of our day, we do indeed glorify God from the beginning, so that his work may be accomplished us throughout the rest of that day which should follow our first actions. This is what St. Francis Xavier recommends. He says, as soon as a good Christian awakens up in the morning, that he should profess the Most Holy Trinity, the three persons in one sole God, which Christians alone truthfully and faithfully profess, when they bless themselves with the words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Then he should profess that Jesus Christ, that he is the true Son of God, by reciting the Creed, and firmly and faithfully believing, without any doubt, that which contains all our Catholic faith, saying, true God, I freely and from my heart, as a good faithful Christian, profess the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. I firmly believe, without doubting, all that the Holy Mother Church of Rome believes and teaches. I promise to live and to die a true Christian in the holy Catholic faith of my Lord Jesus Christ. And if I should not be able to speak at the hour of my death, I now, for when I shall die, acknowledge with all my heart my Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God. I ask you, my Lord Jesus Christ, to give me the grace of keeping to the Ten Commandments today, during this day, during all the time of my life. I ask you, my Lady St. Mary, that you may intercede for me with your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, so that he may give me the grace today, during this day, and during all the time of my life, to keep these 10 commandments. I ask you, my Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive me the sins which I have committed today, during this day, and during all the time of my life. I ask you, my Lady, St. Mary, Queen of the Angels, to obtain pardon for me from your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, for all the sins which I have committed today, during this day, and during all the time of my life. This is how St. Francis Xavier commended those who were under him and those who he was teaching to offer themselves to the Lord. You, each of you, certainly coming to this Mass, do make a morning offering. Well, here is another example of a beautiful morning offering to be able to be given. It's very like unto the prayer of the profession of faith that a priest may make before he takes on a particular office within the Church. St. Francis Xavier dedicated himself firmly to under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary and to her most immaculate heart, so that he might not sin against God nor offend his Lord Jesus, in whom he placed all his hope and trust. And because of this, many great graces were founded upon him. After his death, there were so many people who hated the saint, many of the pagans who refused to convert. And so because of this, seeing that he was weak and unprotected, they sought to destroy any memory of him. So what they did was they took his body, laid it out, and piled on pounds and pounds of lime. What does lime do to the body? It dissolves it, so that nothing would be left. And after doing so, they thought their work done and abandoned him. Faithful souls came to retrieve him, and what did they find? Though spending a great while under that lime, which easily should have totally dissolved him, found that he was untouched by it, totally incorrupt. That is why even unto this day you can go and venerate this incorrupt body of this great saint when you go to Goa, India. You may say, well, Father, he's not actually totally there. Well, that's true. His right arm was taken from him and is now in Rome. And you can go visit it there in the Church of the Gesù, the preeminent church of the Jesuits in the center of the city of Rome. There you can go and venerate him if you can't make it all the way out to Goa, India. I believe they only take out his body maybe every 25 or 50 years to be able to be displayed for public view. Our Lord does not allow the bodies of his holy ones to give in to corruption, particularly when they are full of great sanctity and great humility, dedication to his mother and to himself. Ask our Lord for many graces at this time, particularly on this first Advent Sunday, to allow ourselves to be humble like humble Mary, to seek her immaculate heart, that our hearts too may be free from all sin and all attachment to the things of this earth, to allow that profound humility to recognize that within us, even if there be excellencies which are there, these virtues, they come directly from God and not from ourselves. And so attributing them all to God, who is the one from whom all blessings flow, we might attain to that perfection which this saint has attained to as well. And not to be caught up in our own excellence, but to move beyond it and to allow ourselves to be made low constantly. This is the way of sanctity, making ourselves all the more a conduit for God's grace to flow through us, his divine power, should he wish, yea, to work a miracle through us even in our day. And finally, that is all achieved by all the more firmly dedicating ourselves to Christ himself each and every day with we rise, as he speaks about through the beautiful gift, which is the sign of the cross, to make that profession of our faith through the creed when we rise every morning, and to ask our Lord that he would keep us today, this day, and all the days of our lives from offending him in any of these ways. After the conclusion of this Mass, if you desire to know this prayer more intimately, you may speak to the priest after the Mass. Francis Xavier, patroness of the missions, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.